thanks for coming along to my session. My name's Lee. I work in the School of Education in the University of Glasgow. What we'd like to do today is just to give you a flavour of some of the work that we've undertaken with our initial teacher education students. So these are both undergraduates and postgraduate students who are going through various teacher training programmes, some for primary, some for secondary education. So it's a real mix. There's about 1,500 students, give or take, across the whole school who are undertaking an ITE programme. Most of what I'm about to show you is very focused on a small group, a small proportion of that cohort, around 70 students in a first year undergraduate programme. And I'll talk a little bit more about that as I go through. Now, I'm not going to wait until questions at the end. I'll just keep talking. If you've got any questions, just feel free to shout out. If I don't like your question, then I'll deviate and sort of come back to it at the end. Okay. So rationale background, I should say as well, this presentation is on, you can download it from my blog if you wish to do that as well, so you don't need to take pictures and things there. So rationale and background, so I want to roll the clock back a little bit. So my background isn't in higher education. I was actually a secondary school teacher of design and technology for around 14 years, and I worked for a few years in the Scottish Government writing education policy on post-16 transitions. And when I think back to my time as a student, this for me was the social media landscape. This is pretty much what it looked like. So there was no need for me when I was training to be a teacher to engage in these online technologies for discussion, for collaboration, for the purposes of learning, all of that kind of stuff. So it was an anomaly to me when it started to come into education. I started in the University of Glasgow just under 4 years ago and quickly became the portfolio holder for anything that has the word technology in it. Because my background was in design and technology, I think that the powers that be decided that the word technology would sort of come to me. So I've inherited all of the technology stuff. It's really important now to consider what the environment looks like for a teacher in a school. Do we have any teachers from a school here?
Former.
Okay, well you'll be able to relate to, I think we'll all be able to relate to this in one way or another. So the landscape is changing. Now, I know that young people this kind of age are not supposed to be engaging on social media, but the realities of the situation is that they do, whether that's through a parent or whether they do it by themselves. So we have these young people now who are coming into a classroom environment who are very much engaged in that social landscape. They're aware of that social landscape. They use it all of the time with their friends, use it out with school. Yet in schools, in many schools, we deviate away from teaching them how to use social media in a responsible and in an ethical way. So it's very much a taboo subject. So one of the things that we like to do with our students in Glasgow is to try and give the student teachers an overview of what that emerging landscape looks like, so they know what that landscape is when they go into it. So there's a number of different perspectives here. There's the teacher's perspective working with the young people who are engaged in these social technologies, and then we have a perspective of the students themselves in being able to build their own digital identity through the use of social media. Some students shy away from that because they know that things can go wrong, as they often do in the media, but things can go right as well if you do it safely and if you do it correctly. So we wanted to try and capture all of that. So the paper that this presentation is based on looks across that whole landscape. It's trying to look across how we can maintain that equilibrium of trying to be enthusiastic, trying to encourage student teachers to engage with social technologies, but at the same time, how can they protect themselves? How can they do that effectively? So I'm going to touch through some of these very quickly. If at the end you want me to go back to any of these to elaborate on any points, then please ask me to do that. I've included this clip because for me this is really important. These points here, this is what we really wanted to do with our students. So in the pilot course, this cohort of 70, where we thought we'll try something different with a blended learning course, this is what we wanted to try and achieve. However, we already had some knowledge, whether that was internally generated or whether it came from other bits and pieces of research and practice that people have done across the UK internationally. And one such thing is this idea of the personal disposition. It's very difficult to teach people how to use social media when they all use different social medias. And it's very difficult to force them to engage in one particular social media if they do not want to do that. So that was the first question. Which platform will we use? Will it be Facebook? Will it be Twitter? And then that raises other questions as well, because with our incoming undergraduate students who most of them, not all of them, some of them are mature students, but most of them have came straight from school, don't want to engage in Facebook. They don't even like to use Twitter. And it's this idea of, when you were a teenager and when you were in your early 20s, would you want to drink in the same pub as your father? And it's that whole kind of ethos. So we have this landscape now where the students are coming in, they're engaging in things like Snapchat, Instagram, they're using different types of technology to what we are using in the university. But we have to start somewhere. So this is mostly based around Twitter. But the protection and that curation of digital identity can be aligned to any use of any social media. So this is the pilot course. So I'll deviate away now from some of that sort of background information. This is what we wanted to do. We wanted to establish a course with 70 students. We wanted to focus the use of social media into the learning. We also wanted to focus it as a platform for discussion. And we also wanted to use it as a basis for assessment. So we wanted our students to use some kind of social media, and we would assess the use of that social media. That one, as you can imagine, was the most difficult one to think about how we were going to do that. Now, I'm not saying we've got it right. We're now into year two, so we've done a whole year of this. We're into the second year, and we're still learning from that process. But the students are excellent in providing really valuable feedback on what they like, what they don't like, what they think is beneficial, what is not beneficial, and where they think the opportunities and the challenges are. So the paper tries to capture some of that. A couple of useful bits and pieces of information. If you've not already done this, then you may want to have a look at these. That's a paper that I wrote. Some of this blended learning course is focused on that paper. I'm not going to talk about that. The one that is probably the most interest are the hashtags that we used with the students, and I'll talk a bit more about how we actually did that later on. So we used the MEduke 14 and the MEduke 15. So these are just the two different cohorts. So the 2014 cohort and the 2015 cohort. But interestingly, the student teachers, the ITE students in the School of Education, have developed their own professional community of practice, which is also aligned to the Student Representative Council. So it's a very formal group. That group gets together, and there are a large number of students involved in this, and they will deliver bits and pieces of their own curriculum. So for example, if there's a student who's really engaged in sign language, or they know sign language, or perhaps they know Polish or something like this, we don't teach that in the curriculum within the school. So the students will get together and they will actually manage their own seminars, their own lectures. So there's a bit of peer-to-peer learning going on there. The majority of that is discussed through their own Twitter account. So the students in this instance were already active for the better part in that Twitter forum. So it's not that we came to them brand new and said, everybody's going to start using Twitter. Some of them were already engaged in that landscape. Pedagoo, has anybody heard of Pedagoo? Yeah, so Pedagoo is an interesting one. It was started up in the sort of Highlands of Scotland by a colleague of mine called Fergal Kelly. He wasn't the only one involved in this, there were a number of people. He was a secondary science teacher, and essentially they wanted to try and bring professionals together on Twitter for discussion and collaboration, to share examples of practice, to share research. So it was really engaged through this Pedagoo account. They have other forums as well, so they have a Facebook account and they have bits and pieces like this. It's won a few awards, has the interest of government as well. So the Scottish Government are really interested in this as a professional collaboration tool. So again, we have two different landscapes here, one with the students where they're already engaged here, and we have another professional community. We wanted to try and bring some of that discussion together. There was an evaluation in year one. I don't have all of the data here. I don't want to bore you with too much information, but I can talk to it at the end if you want. So these were some of the sources. We had surveys, and we had an interim survey halfway through the course, which was an 11-week course in semester one. So that was between September and December. External examiner came in and had a good whole day looking through the course materials and to think about how we were doing that. And we also asked staff what they thought as well, because there were eight members of staff who provided learning content for this course, and they were engaged through Twitter with discussion with the students as well. So we wanted to try and capture some of their experiences. A bit about the School of Education. This is probably the most boring bit, so I'm going to do this really quickly. School of Education, we have five ITE programmes. We have postgraduate, secondary and primary, which is by and large the largest ITE programme. We have a large undergraduate programme in primary education, and we have three concurrent secondary degree programmes, one in design and technology, for which I lead, there's one in music, and there's one in religious and philosophical education. So this is the landscape that we're working with. This course, the blended learning course, was the primary students. So the MEduc primary students are the ones that we worked with. Interestingly, there are some external drivers here in play as well. So the Scottish Government at the moment, in fact yesterday, has closed a national consultation on a national digital learning and teaching strategy, which will be used in all early years primary and secondary schools. It specifically mentions universities and initial teacher education and their role in developing digital skills, digital resilience, confidence, you know, these kind of buzzwords that we use all of the time. So all of that is included in here. So we need to respond to that as a university by aligning that to the graduate attribute frameworks. So there is a real external reason for doing so. There are some other things as well, but I won't go into those at this moment. So the actual course, so this is what it looks like. So this is just a bit of a screen grab from Moodle. So Moodle is our VLE. It's an 11-week course. There is an initial lecture, so it's myself that tends to take that lecture. That's where we will talk about the course, we'll talk about the ethos of learning, the expectations, the ground rules, and how we expect to work together as a staff and student population is really important. And we learned that from year one. So we spend a whole lecture right at the start just engaged in that process. They then have a peer group seminar, so they then come together in smaller groups of 20, but within each group of 20 or so, there will be a smaller working group of maybe 5 or 6 students, and they form a hub. So that is one community. They will come together and they will really engage through the use of social media to have discussions, to look for information, and I'll show you some examples of that shortly. We have another peer group seminar, which is held in week 8. So that's a signposting, that's a bit of an anchor for me. So all of these parts here are all done online by the students, facilitated by members of staff, virtually, but I like to include a face-to-face session here just to make sure that none of the students are going off at a tangent. Eventually, I think it is the aim of the school to make this fully online, which then has an implication on how we can anchor the students and make sure that they are correctly signposted. And then we have the submission portal in week 12, which is this week. So I've got several emails, because I did check earlier on, not during the keynote, it has to be said, and I've got lots of panicky students who have problems with Moodle, because Moodle apparently crashed at Glasgow this morning. But they got my out of office, so I'll resolve that later on. Quick screen grab capture. So earlier on I mentioned the sort of three different areas. So we have the discussion, we have the assessment, I'll come back to assessment. The learning one is an interesting one. We wanted the 8 members of staff, and some of these are the professoriate as well. So we wanted to try and get the professors involved. Is there any professors in here? Right, I can see this safely. I know it's being recorded, but it doesn't matter. It's really difficult to try and get the professors to come along and actually teach the undergraduates, but we wanted these professors to be part of that. So the professors and a large number of the senior academics within the school engaged in creating their own social media, whether that was YouTube, whether it was some sort of talking head, whether it was a narrated PowerPoint with different elements and visual parts to it. So they created lots of different things. That was a challenge, and it still is a challenge. There's a whole thing about digital culture here with the staff as well as the students, so there's a bit of work to be done there. But we wanted the students to experience all of these different kinds of medium through their own learning so that they could see how it could be done, so they could in effect try different things themselves and mirror that in their own practice as a school teacher. We have Twitter feeds and things embedded in to the course as well. Now, so here's some examples of some of the discussion. So how would that actually work? Well, typically a weekly module would have some kind of media, some kind of interactive element. It would have probably some kind of reading. So there'd be an ebook or something like this. The students would go through that, respond to questions, and they would then respond and they would have collaborations and discussions. What we wanted them to do in their small groups was to try and provide some kind of evidence in their assessment that they had collaborated using an online platform, whether that's Facebook, Snapchat. Even though we spoke about Twitter and that was the one that we used as an institution, the students were free to, they could use whatever they liked. They could use, as long as they all agreed within the group. I always get nervous when we put students together in a group because they don't like working in groups very often, especially when it's linked to assessment. Originally in year one, 100% of the assessment was based on group work. That wasn't my idea, and it quickly changed in year two. And I'll show you how the assessment works shortly. So the students would meet together face-to-face. They would take photographs. They would put that on Twitter. They would engage through Twitter and have conversations. What I didn't expect, and this is really interesting to me, is that they started to pull into Twitter, into this this forum, this arena, bits and pieces of learning from other courses on the programme of studies. And we also have shared courses with the School of Political Sciences, so they would do social policy, social justice, things like this. And they were actually making connections there and bringing that in as well. So that was of interest to me. So they were actually using it more than what I expected them to use it. Now, when I say they, 70 in the group, there was probably 10 who refused to use Twitter. And it's back to this ethical thing, do we force them to use it? We can't really force them to use it. I've not really been able to find a way of doing that. Otherwise, I would have done it. So 10 of them didn't use it, but they used different tools to track the hashtags so they could still see the conversation. They engaged in conversation through the traditional Moodle forums. So they still did that, but they didn't use Twitter. Out of the rest, the 60 who did use it, there was probably 10 to 15 students who were really sort of prolific and doing lots and lots of different things, constantly tagging me. And it was this idea that I would get an email at 10:30, and then at 11 o'clock they would send me a tweet, did you get my email? So it opened up communication issues because I got bombarded with stuff. So that's an area that I need to try and manage a bit better as well. So this is what the assessment looked like. So we have these small groups of 5 or 6 students. They have to produce a 1,000 word essay. The whole course is called What's the Point of Education? Now, I didn't choose that title. You can like it or hate it, it's up to you, it's a bit like Marmite. What's the point of education? And we asked them big questions. What's the point of a curriculum? What's the point of a school? And questions like this. And what we try and get the students to do is to think about what they expect schools to be like, but more often than not, they've came straight from school, so they have this very one-sided perspective of schooling as a learner. They don't see it from the teacher's perspective. So we try and dispel some of the myths around education. We try and have them focus their own individual stance on a particular theme. So it could be a theme of the use of technology in education, or it could be a particular stance on should we have a school curriculum or not? Should it be a national curriculum, or should schools make up their own curriculum? So it's lots of questions like this. There's no right or wrong answers, as long as they can justify through their own learning experiences and through connections with literature as well. So we do try and give them that open forum. That's 60% of the assessment. That's through a traditional paper. The other 40% is done as a group. So what the group will do is they will create some kind of learning log to illustrate the journey that they have made through the course. So it could be a YouTube clip, it could be a Prezi with different elements embedded, or a PowerPoint, or some of them choose to do a blog, and they'll film each other, they'll record the voices, they'll put bits and pieces of Twitter feeds in or whatever. So they do lots and lots of different things. Makes it really difficult to assess, because there's lots of things going on there, and what we have to try not to do is to assess the design of what they do, because some students are very versed in creating blogs and doing really nice websites, but when you actually dig into it, there's no content. So it's all about the content, it's about the information that's being presented, rather than specifically the design. Through all of that, their protection is really important. I'll try and finish in the next 5 minutes so I can have questions. So I'll show you this at the end, some assessment examples. So how do we use it as a professional medium? Well, right from word go, we take them through an online course. So they have this initial lecture. I will talk to them about the use of social media. I like to use the I Love New York Police Department hashtag. Is anybody familiar with that one? The NYPD had this hashtag campaign a couple of years ago, and people could send in photographs of police officers helping little old ladies across the road, and use a hashtag I Love NYPD, and after 24 hours it went wrong, and people started to send photographs of police hitting people and a bit of police brutality. So we talk a bit about this, and we show them examples of when the media, because the media is really good at picking up when things go wrong, so we show them that. Not to put the fear of God into them, but just to make them aware that things can go wrong, because quite often some of the students are using these mediums as a personal thing, but to use it professionally, the line is often blurred between the two. And one of the things, the first things we tell the students is make sure you go onto Facebook or onto your social media accounts and have all of your privacy settings set to as high as possible. I've had principal teachers, faculty heads in a school, phone me up on a Friday afternoon to say that they've got a student teacher coming in, they've gone onto their Facebook account and they've been talking about what they've been doing on a Saturday night, having a wee drink with their mates and doing all these kind of things. So it happens, it's the reality. So we talk to the students about that. This lesson is online. It's based on the GTCS, the General Teaching Council Scotland, professional guidance on the electronic communication and social media. So it's very short and to the point. It's a bit about the do's and the don'ts. Really digestible for students. This is what we use in all initial teacher education programmes across the whole of Scotland, because we have a GTCS to regulate us. So the students read that, they make sure they're familiar with it, but we constantly keep reminding them about this. So every week when they engage in one of these online modules, we'll refer them back to that. And it's simple things, very common sense things, as you will all know. It's make sure you read it a couple of times. If your employer doesn't like it, or your university is not going to like it, or your family is not going to like it, then you don't post it. So it's these kind of questions that we get the students to think about. Interestingly, and I don't know if anybody's seen this one, are you familiar with this? It just recently came. I don't know exactly when it came out, but I think it was this week. Yeah, it was just a few days ago. This is from the Universities and College Information Systems Association. If you just go on to Google and you look for this, or if you look it up through Twitter, the UCISA has a Twitter feed. It's a really good guide. I've only skim read it at 12:30 last night after coming in from the pre-conference dinner, but it looks really, really good. And it's got lots of really practical advice. For me, that is a student guide because it's easy for them to read. That one has over 60 or 70 pages in it. It's more institutional in its context. It talks about how you can mitigate risks as an institution and the ethical approaches to using social technologies and all of these things. So really, really interesting read. These are my references. And the very last thing that I'll do, and then I'll shut up, is just show you one example of an assessment. I've not chosen this because it's particularly great or not great. It's just the first one that I've picked. So make of it what you will. And I'll just play a few seconds of it. The voice narration's a bit louder than the background music.
Over the past 12 weeks studying the What's the Point in Education course, we've been particularly interested in the history of
the groups that get split into are called Red Dragons, Green Dragons and Yellow Dragons. That's why there's a dragon. It's a primary thing, apparently.
How legislation and curriculum have changed and the impacts this has had on the perception.
So the students have gone through this process of engaging in content that we've created so they can see how learning can be delivered. They then engage in discussion through that, and then their assessment is to produce or to emulate that practice in any way that they see fit.
Scotland has a long history of education.
Some are more creative than others. One of the best ones that I had was last year's cohort, and they did, do you know Ken Robinson's Changing Paradigms, one of these RSE animates. Somebody did one of these, and it was really, really good. It was fantastic. So that's what we're trying to nurture within our students.